Thanks, Nathan. Good morning again on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. We turn now to a local historian who has written a book about the neighborhood of Guilford in North Baltimore, originally the country estate of the founder of the Baltimore Sun, A.S. Abel. Since 1913, it has been one of Baltimore's most beautiful and affluent neighborhoods. Anne Giroux lives in Guilford. Her book is part of the Images of America series, which includes books on many other neighborhoods and institutions in Baltimore and beyond. Anne, it's nice to meet you.
It's great to be here.
So what makes Guilford historically important?
So Guilford is part of the larger Roland Park Company District. Actually, the entire district here in Baltimore City is very important. Wasn't the first, but was highly influential. In other words, they were really, they started in 1891, but after about a decade, Edward Boughton, who was in charge of the Roland Park Company, really had his fingers on the pulse of national trends, international trends. So what he was really the master of was taking the best of those trends and doing them here in the Roland Park Company District and then retransmitting those to other developments across the nation.
So the Roland Park Company teamed up with the Olmsted brothers, Frederick Law Olmsted and John Charles Olmsted, to design Guilford. They also, of course, designed Roland Park. What was the Roland Park Company? Was this a private thing that was working on behalf of the city jurisdiction? How did it work?
Out-of-towners. They were out-of-towners. So it was interesting. One of their challenges is a consortium. And the consortium changed over time. There had been a syndicate that came in and had international funding that ended up pulling their money out. So a lot of these people were Kansas people who were coming in. They weren't even from the area, who were basically experiencing a challenge of trying to tell Baltimore how they should live. In other words, move to the suburbs, but they had to tread carefully.
Yeah, because, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
And Guilford and Roland Park in those days are huge suburbs. I mean, this
exactly.
is just way out in the middle of nowhere. The estate of Mr. Abel was sold for $1 million in 1907. That seems like a lot of money now, and it was certainly a lot of money.
It was.
So these folks were taking a pretty substantial financial risk.
Yes and no. One of the things about Roland Park, which was not the case for Guilford, is that very first plat was really out there. It seemed and felt remote because it really was. It was all about getting there. It was all about, okay, how are we going to get people to understand? How are we going to get rail laid? But Guilford was not. Guilford, by 1913, when Guilford was developed, Guilford was in the thick of things. It was hundreds of undeveloped acres, but surrounded on one side by Waverly, which was already a bustling community. And St. Paul Street had been developed all the way up to the base of Guilford.
So getting there and getting out of there was not
a problem.
Nearly as complicated. Yeah. You write that they had three goals when they designed Guilford. Number one, they wanted consistent and harmonious development. So they were going to sort of control what the houses and the buildings look like. Two, they wanted luxury and affordable homes. They didn't want them all to be sort of high-end places. And they wanted it to be integrated with the development next door. And by the development next door, what do they mean there?
So Guilford, another distinction here with Guilford is that Guilford was really one part of a multi-pronged redevelopment or reimagining of that entire portion of what was Baltimore City and at the time the lower part of Baltimore County. It was a seismic move from the city core, not only of top-tier residences, but also of ecclesiastical buildings, academic campus of Johns Hopkins, we now call the Homewood Campus, eventually the Baltimore Art Museum. So it was really a seismic shift of organizations that all sort of began to be constructed around the perimeter of Guilford.
And was it pretty coordinated?
Yes, highly, tightly.
So the BMA and the Episcopal Cathedral and Guilford as a neighborhood, they were all being designed together. And
it was all tightly coordinated. The BMA, of course, came a little bit later. It was one of the later things to go in, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Guilford certainly did not pioneer, and you write about this, they did not pioneer discriminatory housing practices. For example, Jews, African Americans, and in one document you quote, they were looking to exclude foreigners with, quote, impossible names.
Right.
They didn't want them living in Guilford. But you say that it helped proliferate these practices elsewhere.
So I referenced that earlier when I was talking about the Roland Park Company District here in Baltimore being an important node of transmission. One of the things they transmitted fairly aggressively and actively were exclusionary housing practices. I actually had a lot of material that I could not include in this book. I tracked down a lot of people whose relatives had been excluded based on their professions or their religion or ethnic background from the district and got their stories. So it was interesting.
What kind of professions were they dead set against?
Undertakers were particularly discriminated against initially. Major undertakers had in the past, in the city core, had their homes and their businesses often either side by side or in one building. And that was something the Roland Park Company did not want to see.
Mm-hmm. And how long did it take for African Americans, Jews, and others to be able to integrate and be able to buy and live in Guilford?
It took longer for African Americans. Actually, it took that was the longest that it took, and the Depression actually broke down the other discriminatory practices, the so-called gentlemen's agreements, fairly soon. The company lost control over who was selling to whom. For financial reasons, people were selling to anybody who had the money to pay for those homes.
Mm-hmm. The designers wanted to have places, what they called places,
yes,
as well as gardens. There's a bunch of beautiful gardens in Guilford. Sherwood Gardens is one that a lot of people know. What did they mean by places?
So places was actually a term the Olmsteds themselves came up with. They use it in quotation marks themselves, and I've continued that. That means cul-de-sacs. That means nooks and crannies that they're putting in to create calmer areas. The roadways, in other words, tend to get smaller. So you might have these little places radiating off of the community in various places. We have them in Guilford, north, south, to the east, all over. Roland Park has them as well, and as does Homeland.
So these three goals that they had, the consistent development, the luxury and affordable homes, the integration with the development next door, that's what they were trying to do. So as we sit here in 2015, you live there. Did they succeed?
Yes, they did. They absolutely succeeded. It's one of the best preserved developments of this period in the nation.
Well, I appreciate your coming by. It's fun to read the book and to see some pictures of some houses that are still there.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're all still there.
They're all still there. And, you know, it's amazing to think that this was all sort of dreamed up by a bunch of guys from Kansas City.
Absolutely.
All right, Angie Ruth, thanks so much. Appreciate your coming by. Her new book is called Guilford. It's part of the Arcadia Publishing Images of America series. Angie Ruth will be leading a walking tour of Guilford with an architect, David Gleason, on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. She'll also talk about the book at the Roland Park branch of the Enoch Pratt Library on October 28th. We've got links to all the details on our website. Come on over to wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Coming up Monday, we'll check in with Kenneth Burns and Fraser Smith from the WYPR News Department for a roundup of local news and a look ahead to the Democratic primary debate. That's happening on Tuesday night. Marvin Pinkert will also be here. He's going to talk about a terrific new exhibition at the Jewish Museum of Baltimore on the iconic singer-songwriter Paul Simon. And we'll have a conversation with Ann Tyler about her latest novel, which has been nominated for a Man Booker Prize. That takes place in Roland Park, as a matter of fact. That's all happening Monday morning here on Maryland Morning. Nathan Sterner is my co-pilot and our director and engineer. Jonna McCone and Connor Graham produced the program with production assistance from Scott Seiss. Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville gives us our Java fix every morning. You can find them online at zekescoffee.com. Thanks to Chris Kennedy and Clean Cuts Music for our theme song. And thanks to you for listening. I'm Tom Hall. We'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend.